scenario that makes sense, Jamil explained. The DPRK wouldn't dare start this unless they knew the Chinese were backing them up. But I've had assurances. State's voice dwindled away as she realized that she had nothing but the unsupported word of an informal back-channel contact. Jamil took half a step toward her and said earnestly, Madam Secretary, we know that the North Koreans launched the bomb that knocked out our satellites. That took more thrust and accuracy than their Taipo Dong-2 missile has. It had to be upgraded. And where'd they get a nuclear warhead? Their own nuclear program isn't that advanced. Defense was frowning. State looked distracted, as if she was trying to absorb this information and match it with what she thought she'd known earlier. Jamil went on. Pyongyang needs reunification with South Korea. China wants Taiwan. They both want us out of Asia. Defense put up a beefy hand. Wait a minute. How does bombing San Francisco and killing the president get them any of those things? Are we willing to have a nuclear war with China? Jamil demanded. Are we willing to see half our cities destroyed, maybe more? 100 million casualties? Over Taiwan and the reunification of North and South Korea?
If they kill the president.
Even then, sir, the Chinese are betting that we'll back down. And if we don't, if we launch our missiles at China, they're betting they can absorb our attack and come out the winner.
The Secretary of State heard Kwang's warning in her mind. You must realize that there are factions within our council. We have our own hardliners, you must understand.
But we wouldn't attack China, State said, as if trying to convince herself. We'd attack North Korea. And China would retaliate. They'd have to. They couldn't sit back while we destroyed an ally that's right on their border.
Changjin, Defense murmured. State turned toward him with a questioning look. The Korean War. China came in when our troops approached the Yalu River, the border between Korea and China. Defense looked suddenly old and frightened, his liver-spotted face gray.
Coggins stepped up beside Jamil. For what it's worth, I think this scenario makes sense.
And the president's been apprised of all this? State asked.
Coggins replied, I've spoken to my boss, the National Security Advisor, personally. He's contacted the president's chief of staff out in San Francisco.
Impatiently, General Scheib said, Whatever scenario you want to believe, we've got the airborne laser approaching the North Korean coast and the gooks about to launch their missiles. I ought to be down in the Situation Room.
Yes, you should, Defense said. With a wave of one hand, he commanded, Get down to your post. I only hope to God Almighty your people can shoot those damned missiles out of the sky.
The Pentagon. Elevator. Zuri Coggins realized that General Scheib was terribly tense. Despite the cool appearance he was trying to project, she could see that the general was boiling inside. As the elevator stopped at every floor and people got on and off, Scheib nervously jabbed repeatedly at the button for the basement level even before the elevator doors could close.
Come on, come on, he kept muttering.
Jamil, standing beside her in the back of the elevator cab, half whispered, Thanks for backing me up in there. He looked weary, spent, close to exhaustion.
I think you got it right, she told the analyst, also speaking in a near whisper.
I thought she called me up there to fry my butt, Jamil confessed.
Coggins said, Speak truth to power, and get your head chopped off.
She nearly laughed.
This isn't Iran, Mr. Jamil. We don't hack people's heads off.